For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Nisan Bulavinaka, Dolavina to all of our Fijian listeners, and welcome everyone to Nijin Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinarau Arona T. We have a lot to talk about, all things rugby union. All things rugby league, my friend.
All things rugby league, mates. We've spoken too much about rugby union lately.
Come on, mate. Let me have my time in the sun.
How did your group go from Monday's interview, the Kanalol group?
I believe they've been rejected.
Are we pushing too early on that one?
No, we'll have a little chat about it. I think it'll be worthwhile having little chats just to give a bit of a rundown from what happened on Monday. But we do have other things to talk about
yes,
as well.
Yes, we have our usual Friday guest, Sala Tonga Tuki, will be joining us to talk all things round 10. We did kick off last night where the Dolphins played the Bulldogs.
Holy, the wheels are falling off the dogs.
Yes, we'll get to that one shortly. But we've also got round 10 over the weekend, and we have the women's game 2 State of Origin kicking off next week. So we'll catch up with Sala to talk about that one. We've also got the Fijian great Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani reporting live from Fiji to give us an update on how the draw is going.
Well, he's got a bye this week. The draw has got the bye, but you know what I saw on his socials?
What'd you see?
Another polo shirt, but not a draw one. Some other one doing another photo opportunity, shaking a few hands with someone else.
Hey, speaking of socials, we'll get to the footy shortly, but did you see my socials?
Yes. You flogging your sons.
Did you see my plank? 130 on my back before I broke.
Broke your back or broke?
Broke my back.
Yeah, man, because there's a lot of weight going on that on the back there for that bridge.
Yeah, and we'll get to your show socials very shortly too.
Oh, yeah, be going on there as well. Keen, man, we have a lot to talk about, but let's get into it.
Hello, my name is Conor McGregor. Hello, my name is Lehi Abwate, and I'm listening to Nijin Footy.
I don't know why that makes me laugh every single time. The great man, Lehi Hopawate. Manly is flying at the moment, even though they had a loss last week. But anyway, that's a different story. Round 10, T,
yes,
last night.
Last night, the Dolphins, a.k.a. the Entertainers.
Tackled, passes to Farnworth, flat-footed. Farnworth tackled, 10 out, Hayward put him down. Big shift to the left. Katoa, he chucks it to Nikarima. Nikarima passes, and Stone puts Cobbo over in the left corner.
Wow, how good's that?
I remember a few weeks ago when the Dolphins played the Warriors, and after the game, their coach Christian Wolf, he said they weren't far off where they needed to be. Now they've strung together 2 awesome wins. Last week they beat the Storm. Last night they beat the Bulldogs 44-12. And the thing I loved about this game was they didn't have the greatest start. They were similar to the draw at the start of the year. You know, where's the fast start?
Where's the fast start?
They've conceded, I think it was out of the 9 games they've played, they've conceded the first try in those early parts. So last night was very similar where they were on the back foot. Bulldogs had all the momentum, but they found a way to fight through that, them dark times or, you know, under pressure, and then come out the other end and pretty much own the second half or own 50 minutes of the game. There's also, when you look at this Dolphins team, there is strike and threats right across the park. You know, you go on the right side, you've got Jack Bostock, Jermaine Isako, who I'll get to shortly. He absolutely
had an impressive game, didn't he?
Probably the best game he's played
on that
ever.
Right edge.
And then on the left edge, you've got Herbie Farnworth and Selwyn Cobbo. So Herbie's probably one of the top 2, 3, maybe top 2 best players in the game right now. And then you've got Hamiso Tabuai-Fido at the back playing fullback. And he had a quiet game, but when you've got threats right across the board,
it makes sense why they play to width, doesn't it?
Why they play wide and they just go direct on the edges. But then you've got Nikarima and your cuz Isaiah Katoa just directing the traffic. and then you've got a very tough, intimidating four-pack.
Speaking of that four-pack, is Fine Fuyaki, is he underrated?
Kulikefu?
Yeah.
Man, there's already talks about him.
He hasn't played Origin.
No, nah, not yet. He's still young.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
okay.
He's still a kid.
I just feel like some of the lines he runs, he's been impressive for me.
Yeah.
Like getting direct, getting go forward.
I reckon he'll push for a Queensland Origin debut this year.
Yeah, okay.
But he is very informed. And there was a huge moment. Spoke about the Bulldogs having that momentum, but there was a huge moment on the 31st minute. The Bulldogs were just attacking their line. They were up 12 points to 4. Remember, the final score was 44-12.
Yeah.
So on the 31st minute, Bulldogs were having this, they're attacking the Dolphins' try line. They shift the ball right to left. The ball hits the ground, and then Jermaine Suckle just bullies the opposite winger to get the ball, sprint down the other end, and then they end up scoring. Selwyn Cobbo scores on the opposite side. But that was one moment where it pretty much changed the momentum of the game, and Dolphins just, you know, kept the foot on the gas the whole time.
Was the sin bin the other moment, you think? That changed it, because it just seemed like after, I think it was Preston got sin bin for taking out Isaiah there, Dolphins score just before halftime, and it just seems like they just never recovered after those two moments, or that moment that you said, and that moment there when he got sent off.
The Dolphins capitalised on playing 12 men.
Yep.
I think the Bulldogs and Cameron Serraldo said it after the game that he wasn't impressed with, you know, their toughness during that period, and the Bulldogs just conceding too many penalties or six against and not having any of the ball in that small amount of time.
Yeah,
and then
right.
The Dolphins just stacked on all those points in the second half.
You don't want your coach saying we didn't show toughness. That's the last thing you want to hear from your coach, because you know what's coming. At training.
Yeah, mainly, and he spoke about the edges, this disconnection. He was very happy with the middles, but not happy with the edges and that disconnection. And I'll get to Jermaine Suckle, but he just made, you know, that edge look very reserve grade-like.
Yeah.
But I think the Dolphins will go on a small run here. For their next few games, the Rabbitohs, the Raiders, and the Cowboys. You only have to look at last year's performances when they were getting those 50, 60-point score lines in back-to-back games. And I think they could be back and they'll get a good run over this next few weeks. But Jermaine Isakwa, he had one of the best games he's had, if not the best game he's had in his NRL career. He scored 3 tries, and they weren't just catching, put the ball down tries. He had to work hard for them. There were moments where there was just a one-on-one. He'd skip out the side, beat the winger, beat the next defender, break tackles, and then make his way to the try line, or step back into the fullback, step back inside, and then beat defenders to go and score.
He's got some good legs on him, eh? Like, the muscles
very
on him.
Strong,
man, very strong.
Great core. Scored 3 tries.
Good eyebrows too, man. On fleek, as they say.
he had a nice try assist where you think he's going to dive and try and go for the try line, and then he ends up throwing it back into his centre, Jack Bostock, to score. He had the most runs in the game, 19 carries. He had the most metres, 262 metres. He had the most tackle breaks, 8 tackle breaks. Alongside that, he kicked 6 from 8 goals. So Jermaine Isakwa, my MVP
for last
night's game.
Ditto. That's obviously impressive. But my son, he doesn't really watch rugby league or rugby union much. He loves his golf now. But when Jermaine scored that try in the corner and he did a cartwheel, mate, that was, my son was like going, holy daddy, did a cartwheel with the ball in his hand. How did he do that? Did you do that when you played? I was like, son, I did. I lied to him. Is he eligible for Queensland? When did he move over?
He was
Teenager, or was he too old?
I don't think he's eligible.
Okay, might have to have a look at that one, see if he moved over for school or anything like that. But if he was eligible, do you think he's ready for Queensland? Or no, he'd be New South Wales, eh?
He'd be Blues if he came here early. But I think he came a bit later.
All right.
Great performance from Jermaine Isakwa. Now, there's a number of different points I want to cover across NRL and rugby league, and we'll just quickly have a quick chat about it. So first one, Alex Johnston PNG Chiefs. It's official. He's coming. He's joining.
I thought it already was.
No, it wasn't official.
I was like, yeah, well, why is he announcing it now? I just assumed that.
I think there were talks, Jerome, and then they wanted, PNG wanted to announce Jerome Luai's first, and yeah. then.
And then I saw that he said sorry or something. I was like, bro, I thought you were already there, Cass.
I think his management team jumped the gun too early and wanted to get Alex out there. But it is official. He's coming. Great news for PNG. What do you think about this announcement?
Oh, mate, to me, honestly, it's a no-brainer. Like, doesn't matter if he was first or second. He's still number one on the try scorers list in history. But again, I can't wait to see him score a try in Port Moresby.
Oh, it would go nuts.
It's going off. Can you imagine just the crowd standing up, just waving the flag, just going off when he scores that first try at home?
There's a song that they sing in England. And if you're from that team or you're from that local area, it's, he's one of our own, he's one of our own.
Yeah, they got the best chance over there, eh? I'd love for the PNG crowd to have something for Alex when he scores.
Alex Johnston, he's one of our own.
Yes!
But I thought that was some great news. Jareem Buller as well, the West Tigers fullback, he has extended his contract to stay at the Tigers for until the end of 2030. So that's on the back of the both May brothers, Terrell and Taylan. Jareem Buller joins that one. What are your thoughts on this?
Now, again, he is a freak of a talent and just joins the long line of unbelievable fullbacks in rugby league. So when do you reckon he'll hit his like actual sort of peak? Or not peak, but he's still got long to go. But where he goes, man, this is the premier fullback. Like we've seen, say, like a Reece Walsh.
Yeah, I reckon I see more Tom Trbojevic. Oh,
okay, that type of fullback,
yeah. I reckon when his body starts to fill out a little bit more, you've seen over the years, if you look back when Tom Trbojevic, Latrell Mitchell, even Kalen Ponga, when they first started in the NRL, their bodies were a lot more leaner.
Mm.
And then you look at them now filled out, Latrell Mitchell, Tom Trbojevic now, very hard to handle because they've got the experience, but they've also got that mature body as well. So I reckon once that few more years with Jareem Buller's size to
his development
fill out
there,
his development, and then, I think we're yet to see the best of it, of the Jareem Buller, which is scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Some sad news, Samuel Afenu, he has, with his foot injury, he's looking at 12 weeks on the sideline. Ooh. I know the Tigers are struggling with their injuries at the moment, but, big love to Samuel Afenu. On the back of those injuries, we've had one at the Dolphins, so Daniel Saifiti, the twin brother of Jacob Saifiti.
I did see this,
The Saft twins. At 30 years old, Daniel Saifiti has had to medically retire from the game. He did have a shoulder injury. He's that didn't recover, so they've had to make the call on that. He's played 191 NRL games, 3 games for the Mighty Butty Fiji. So he is a Fijian international, and he's played 7 games for the New South Wales Blues. So just want to say a huge congratulations to DSAFs, Daniel Saifiti, and, man, hopefully we can get him here on the show on Nijan Footy as well shortly. What else have we got, Sammy?
Talk to me. I know you've got plenty there. I could just see all the bullet points.
Yep.
Give me something.
Some cool news from a good friend of mine. I've known this guy for a long time. He is Fijian background as well. I played with him at the Sydney Roosters and just a great human being. But my friend Kane Evans.
Yeah.
Good old Kano. He shared some stuff on social media where he's going for a rough time. From once he retired, he went over to the UK previously. Then he retired over there over the last, I think it might have been year and a half. He's gone from owning a cafe.
Yeah.
That didn't do too well. Then he suffered from addiction. And then he spoke about him being homeless, but how he's come out of that. He's found some help. He's found the support. He's put himself into rehab. He's now 100 days sober. But he shared this on social media. I think it was very brave of him. And, it shows where he's at life, but I just want to say, huge. I'm proud of Kane.
Yeah, absolutely.
Proud of the, how he's come through and the journey that he's taken, but I also know the man he is. So I just want to show a lot of love to Kane Evans.
No, I love that, bro. And, it's It's hard, eh, when you've played with someone, you've been in the trenches with someone, you've shared some really good memories on and off the field, and then sometimes you just feel helpless, don't you, when you when you see a teammate like that go through some hard times. But as you said, man, he's got support around him now, and hopefully he turns things around.
Yeah, he posted some photos on social media where some of those areas that he stayed when he was homeless, and he said, he writes a few sentences. He says, what a way to be humbled and feel grateful by waking up early, walking to go visit where I was not so long ago. 4 months ago, I slept in these parks and moved in the shadows. Tired of fighting the war within, I was hoping to pass away before getting the help I needed. The last sentence that I loved, he said, I thank God that I got there and help from many. So,
bro, it gives me goosebumps, that man. When someone can turn their life around like that, man, we wish him all the best. Much love, and hopefully we can just keep hearing more and more positive stories from Kane Evans.
And my final point, Sammy Spencer-Lenu. There's reports that he is out of favour at the Sydney Roosters. They've allowed him to explore other options. He does have a contract next year for the 2027 season. Yep. But they said that they wouldn't extend his stay at the Roosters. What are your thoughts on this one with Spencer?
Firstly, as a general perspective on this, for any young or anyone in footy circles going through their career, you are going to have ups and downs like this. This is so normal to have. You know, when you could be on top of the world in your premiership winner, how many did he win? Three? He win the four?
Before he went there, it was three. Four.
He won four. Well, anyway, he's won premierships.
Year at Roosters was last year, I believe.
Anyway, you can have the highest of highs and be on top of the world and feel invincible, and then you can have these moments where your career just, why isn't it happening the same way like it was before? And it's not through you've lost your talent all of a sudden. It's just sometimes it's the nature of the beast. Do you fit that environment as much as you thought you would have when you went? You know, that's the bit that always fascinates me about someone's rugby league or rugby union journey. But for someone like Spence, if it hasn't worked out at the Roosters, I've got no doubt it's going to work out somewhere else where he goes. We see it in coaching. Sometimes it's the coaches just can't have the same impact at this team compared to when they were with another team. So it is what it is, but I've got no doubt there'll be plenty of clubs lining up for his signature, and I reckon he's going to PNG.
Well, sorry. I'd take that back. He's got three championships.
Well, there you go.
So
three
he went
rings.
To the Roosters in 2024.
Yep.
But yeah, again, exactly what you just said there. I think he's got a lot of value to add to a number of clubs, which we'll go through quickly. I think the Eels could use some punch in the middle, especially with Junior Bolo adding that spark with Junior. That would be pretty cool to see. I think the Storm, someone like Davey Mwale, who's going to Manly next year, and then over the time with Melbourne Storm, how many of the Pacific Island players with his mold have gone there and gone through the roof?
I'm with you with that. I think if you need to go and find form or find a way to sort of get that spark again, I'm thinking Melbourne.
Now, I'm going to go back even further. Look, remember Jeff Lima?
Yeah. Maz's older brother, Jeff Lima.
This could be a Jeff Lima one. Yeah. Sikamanu.
Vave as well.
Vave.
I remember when he went down to the Storm, man. That was a different player.
Sam Cassiano.
Oh, stop it.
So a lot, and then also most previously, Nelson Asafa Solomona. Yeah. So,
but Utoikamanu as well. You know, when he left the top.
Sean Blaw.
Oh, mate, the list goes
they're
on.
They're all playing some great in Eli Katoa.
Yes.
So Spencer Lenu. Maybe the Storm.
Like, you can probably go take more cash at PNG, but you probably have plenty of time to take cash somewhere. But maybe that's the option that you need. Shake the cage a bit more, find that hunger again, and get after it.
How good. All right. Well, I know we've spoken a lot about rugby league, and let's save some room for Sala Tonga Tuki shortly. But what do you got for us in rugby union?
Hey guys, I'm Alan Alalatoa. I'm from the Wallabies, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, Super Rugby is on this week amongst all of the rugby league news, so we do have that happening, and probably the match of the round. I would have loved to have said the draw, but they have the bye, so they're not the match of the round.
Oh, the draw got the bye this week.
Yeah, bye this week. It's the Blues.
So what are we talking about with Nems?
I've got no idea. Probably his other gigs. Now, there's some big news in Fiji. New coaches happening for the women's team, for the Fijian Drill women's team. So there's that happening. Some 20s chat, but yeah, I'm sure he'll make up something and throw some information out there for us.
And an invoice.
And the invoice as well. Yeah, he definitely that comes first before the information. He's good, that bloke. But match of the round this week will be the Crusaders taking on the Blues at the new stadium there in Christchurch.
Oh, there's history there.
A lot of history. This is a genuine rivalry and definitely, oh man, please let me see a packed house there. Roof on. It will be hissing game to watch. And again, I'm looking at Lester Fainga Anuku playing in the 7 jersey. So he retains that one for the Crusaders. And that battle between his opposite number, Dalton Papali'i, for the Blues, is definitely one to tune in for. Like, those two are going to go at it. There's All Blacks spots on the line here as well. You know, Dalton, he's played plenty of games in the 7 jersey for the All Blacks. And someone like Leicester, like, are the All Blacks going to go with that hybrid player? Like, this could be something that the new coaching staff, Dave Rennie and the All Blacks, will be watching closely just to see how Leicester goes and potentially what that looks like, the way they want to play for the All Blacks, especially they have a big tour coming up when they go to South Africa, a long tour, and you need guys that can bend the line. So Leicester, he'll be one to watch.
World Cup next year, eh?
World Cup is next year. Yeah.
So they'll be with that in the back of their minds.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely, yeah. They'll be prepping for this big tour for South Africa and obviously leading into that. We've got the Nations Cup, the new Nations Cup as well, where those 12 teams will play in that one with the Southern Hemisphere and Northern Hemisphere. So Test footy.
It actually is an international game, yeah, eh?
Like, Test footy is alive and well. I'm not going to, we can't deny that. But it's just suffering at the grassroots and probably at the professional level for your state sides and stuff like that, provincial sides.
Oh, you've just teed that up beautifully,
mate.
Did I? Yes. Because this was what I wanted to get towards. Your social media post. Talk us through it. I know there's been a lot of traction there and a lot of comments, and you might have ruffled a few feathers there, but your social media
posts. If you're commenting and sharing my stuff, it must have got to you, because you don't do anything. You don't collab. You don't share.
Whoa.
You just worry about your fitness.
What was my comment? My comment
and
was...
And if you want to hear more...
just search...
for Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
But your social media posts, look, talk us through it.
I was talking about... I saw an article... from Rugby Australia, chairman, his name's Dan Herbert, he's a former Wallaby, and he was, you know, making claims and trying to get world rugby on his side to say that French rugby clubs are poaching young stars here in Australia and going over. And they do that because if you can earn this status, if you go over there as a 17-year-old, you can earn this status called GIF. So if you play 3 years at a French club and you can achieve this status before the age of 21, you have... so many spots on a roster. I don't know how many it is, but there's a lot more GIF players you can have on your French roster compared to just a foreign spot like that a test player might take up.
So they get more quota spots.
Yes.
If you go there at the age of 17 for 3 years.
Get your GIF status, yeah. And you've got that forever. So you could go...
is that before you play professional rugby union?
Yeah, just live and be in... So they'll go in their academy system and then you stay 3 years there in their academy system.
So you can't go at like 21 and stay your 3 years there.
Then nah, it doesn't. Yeah. So yeah. They did that because they just didn't want people or clubs trying to just poach big name players from overseas.
Go and buy a team.
Yeah, exactly. So you start and develop from that age group.
Yep.
And you've got that forever. So you can come back and play here and then go back and still have your GIF status. So that's why they do it. So it's a really good system, you know, for opportunities. But Rugby Australia is saying that that's poaching. And to me, I just felt the need to say something because, like, firstly, this has been happening to our Pacific Islanders forever, you know, from the islands. I was talking to Campisi Maafu yesterday, who's coaching the forwards for the Fijian under 20s. They've already got 7 of their players going over straight after their 20s campaign who are just finished high school, who are 18 years of age. They're going over there. So he goes, it's just the nature of the beast. So that's happening. But I also say that because of the fact that it's always the same names they keep putting in the paper, like a Heinz Lamotto, who I mentioned in the clip. there's another guy from Queensland, and his name's
who's been poached.
He's been
who's gone to France at a young age.
And there's another guy named Kite who's gone over as well. And like I know these people personally, and I know the fact that Rugby Australia didn't even know they existed. Like, or even formally try to approach them or do anything like that.
So for Rugby Australia to say that they had been poached when they didn't even recognise the talent first to try and keep them
here. To keep them here. Like, there's another guy named Davita Alandini who's at the Brumbies now. So we talk about the Penrith Panthers and how good they are and the talent out in Sydney's West. There's oceans of them. And you look at every single rugby league club, like there is Penrith Panthers players everywhere in those systems. So there's the same in Union as well. So when Davita Alantini, like the equivalent was the Penrith Emus, they got kicked out of the Sydney Premiership rugby competition. So they had to start driving down to Canberra to play games in Canberra.
Mm.
And that's where he got picked up. So they didn't really know he was there. But Laurent Partey, who's at the Penrith Panthers now, who made his debut, I think, last year or the year before, he was a part of that team.
Did it come from Union?
Union as well. You know, so that was Isaiah Kartos.
Yeah, he's also a Comets boy. Shout out.
There you go. But again, what they need to recognise is that a lot of the boys now, and girls, they play both.
Yeah.
So you can't say that they have to pick and stick or anything like that, or you're just going to wait. Like, the reality is they play both, and not everyone is suited to rugby league. That's the difference. Like, we have a position-specific game. So if I think of De La Salle Va'a and his brother, Xavier Va'a, that's his brother? Xavier Va'a, yeah. Like, they're massive. They're like 2 meters tall. They would love to be in rugby. So you got to find those players out there. I just think, If the NFL can have a combine and develop players who have never picked up an NFL ball, but yet you still get a Jordan Mailata earning $64 million, you can do the same thing out in Sydney's West and find talent.
Yeah, it's more to your argument, it's more the Rugby Australia blaming an external country coming to their country and poaching when they should be just looking in the mirror saying,
how can we get better?
Or who's it responsible for identifying this talent?
Yep.
And how do we create a pathway to keep them here?
Absolutely. You don't need to get everyone. And I understand there's limited opportunities. We only have 4 clubs here in Australia. But there's not a shortage of talent for you to be able to do that. And
I love how you mentioned the Pacific Cup, the Junior Cup.
Mate, that has produced so many players that have come. Like, we look in the women's space, let's look at that because there's issues there at the moment with rugby union players wanting to go over. We've seen Ash Masters
already.
Go. Yeah, you know. We see Aliyah Nasir. She played rugby with our New South Wales Tonga team. Roman Tuamau, he played for New South Wales Samoa, and now he's down in Canberra. Phoenix Godone, he played for New South Wales Samoa, and now he's with West Tigers. You know, Heinz Lamoto, New South Wales Tonga, he's with Toulouse. Mate, there's so many players that are playing in this competition. And then from that union experience, they go, Union's actually all right. Mm-hmm. I actually like the game. So there's got to be something done. But hey, what do I know, T?
What do you know, mate? I don't know.
But anyway, Super Rugby is on this weekend, and it's a blockbuster, and we get into the pointy end.
And then just before we get over to Sala Tongatuki, the Kanaloa group, can you give us an update?
I believe
there's been some news since our interview with them on Monday. With just a quick background, they were the group that put in an...
The bid to take ownership
of... to one day or hopefully own the Moana Pacifica.
Yep, that's officially been rejected from New Zealand Rugby Union. That came out yesterday.
Has there been a number of...
I don't know who else is out there. But NZRU hold the license, and they're the ones that either say yay or nay, and they do the full vetting process. Look, from our chat on Monday with them, like... I thought it was very probably, probably maybe a little bit wishful thinking. Just like, I know that they said they couldn't say too much around the strategy involved, but I'm thinking long term. Like, how does the team stay in for long term for like 20 years? And I just didn't get that vibe from them that maybe they would be right for next year, but if you keep losing $10 million every year, like, where do you get that money from?
Mm.
So I just, yeah, had my doubts after that chat.
If they were on the Shark Tank and you're one of the investors, you're like, sorry, it's not for me.
Yeah, I'm out. Sorry, I am out. But you know, again, you can't hate on them for having a crack, though.
100%.
We're all about having a crack.
100%.
And if it's not now, it might be later on. Like, they just got to keep knocking on the doors to hopefully one day get what they want. So, anyway. All right, T, that's it for Rugby Union. Until we continue the chat with Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani. But first, let's get to...
Hold up.
Going on?
You'll never believe it. It has happened. Has this happened again? Or has it happened before?
It has definitely happened before, if I think...
There's been
what
a couple
you're about
times.
To say.
Yeah, Sala Tongatuki.
She's not here.
Has just sent a message saying she's unavailable.
Ah, hopefully everything's all right. But hopefully you're prepared something.
Nah, I've got you covered.
You
mate.
Got me
I've
covered?
Got you covered.
You got me covered? Yeah, so you've always got me covered. So we're going to preview some more.
We'll preview a few more games from this weekend. And then we'll get to Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani.
Hey everyone, Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, Alassassini Rabbitohs. You're here with Nesian Footy.
Sammy, round 10, NRL.
Yes.
With the game so far, what have you thought about the actual competition?
To be honest, I reckon I get lost with all the other stuff that happens in rugby league. So I forget there's actually 80 minutes that actually happens every week.
Yep.
But I find it very hard to pick because when I think there's a sure thing somewhere, it's like, oh my goodness, what happened there? Like, I love it because it's completely different to last year. Look at the bottom teams up the top. And look at the ones that were sort of at the top. They're down the bottom. Yep. Bulldogs, Melbourne Storm.
Yep.
Holy.
Well, there's a few games that we'll cover that's happening this weekend. I want to start with the Bunnies versus the Sharks.
So now, the Bunnies were down the bottom last year too, weren't they?
They weren't anywhere near the top.
Nah,
but
go.
They are now sitting fourth on the ladder.
Yeah.
And the Sharkies are sitting eighth. The Bunnies... they had a tight loss to the Newcastle Knights, so I know that they'll want to try and make things better from that.
That was a very entertaining game.
In Newcastle, yep. But unfortunately, they have no Latrell Mitchell. He is out due to injury for this week and maybe possibly next week, but they do have one of the tallest players in rugby league, Jai Gray, returning at fullback.
One of the tallest.
Yeah. I love watching him play because there's not much of him, but man, he is brave and he is fast. He is nippy. My sons aren't that tall either, so one of my sons love watching Jai Gray. So shout out to Jai. He will be making his return to fullback. And the Sharks, they come off the back of a very huge win against the Tigers, 52-10. There are no changes to that side that played the Tigers. But my matchup for this round, Keon Kolomatangi versus Adam Fanua-Blake in the middle.
It's a couple of big Tongans going at it.
Who wins?
Oh, man. Why do you put me in that situation to come up with that? It's a draw.
Oh, well, who wins the match? Who do you think wins the match?
This is actually even better for our smoke and tip. Oh, for some reason, I'm leaning towards... the Bunnies.
Really?
Yeah. But no I don't know. Way. You reckon the Sharkies?
Sharkies are in, they're starting
actually,
to find
with
some
Latrell,
form.
Yeah, well, with Latrell, who actually is opposite of, or who would have been opposite Latrell?
It would have been KL Iro. No. KL plays on the left. Latrell plays on the left. So it would have been Siosifa Talakai, this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, when you find out, when you're opposite number, probably a superstar of the game when they're not playing, are you like cheering? But for Sif, I don't really think he cares who's in front of him.
He doesn't care.
He likes taking names.
Well, I'm going to go the Sharkies on this one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You like the Sharkies after last week? Fair enough.
Yep. In another game, the game straight after this one is the Manly Seagulls versus the Brisbane Broncos.
Oh, this is another good matchup.
The Manly Seagulls, they do have their halfback, Jamal Fogarty, coming back. The Broncos, they miss a few players in Adam Reynolds, Dean Mariner, and Katoni Staggs. But my matchup for this one, in the back row, Tongan enforcer Hamole Olakau'atu versus Cook Islander Xavier Willison. Them going at it.
A couple of big units going at it again. How tall is Xavier Willison? He's 2 metres, eh?
I reckon they would be very similar in height. But what I've loved about Xavier Willison's development, I've seen him over the years develop into one of Broncos' leaders. And I think with Payne Huss leaving next year, I reckon Xavier Willison might be that enforcer alongside Mitch Barnett.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, the way Xavier carries, like for a tall man, obviously there looks like there's a lot of space for him to, get under the ball or hit him. But like 205 centimetres, that's a big target. But like he seems like really tough to tackle because he gets his bumpers and it's like you can't really get a clean shot on a big man like that. Like that's what it looked like from the outside, but I could be wrong here.
Like he keeps his hips away from
the
defender.
Yes, he does.
And that way it's so hard to get him down because that space keeps his legs up. Same as Homole Oluwatu as well. You see the way that they create space, whether it's through footwork, but at the point of contact, their hips are
away from the defender. Yeah, that's what I've noticed, and that makes me think why what you're saying, he will be the enforcer for the Bronx.
I think with the Manly Seagulls losing to Panthers in a tight one last week, they've proven that they are the real deal. And I know they were missing Tom Trbojevic, but Dolukola at the back there, he's doing a good job. So I'm going with the Manly Seagulls to beat the Broncos in this one.
That's not a bad shout, that one.
The Manly Seagulls are sitting seventh. After their start of the season, they are now seventh in the top eight. The Broncos are at the 10th position on the NRL ladder. And my last game is the Storm versus the Tigers. The Storm are second last, sitting 16th place on the ladder. And the Tigers, they're up at fifth. Seven losses in a row for Melbourne Storm. Does it become eight?
That's going to be the talking point every week. This can't happen again. Everyone's waiting for that narrative to go, nah, surely they can't go seven in a row. Surely they can't go eight in a row. But the Tigers will be desperate. And with the injuries that they do have.
Yep, no Adam Dewey, no Samuel Afenu, no Api Korosau.
Yeah, so does that hurt them a lot? Or do you think they've got the next man up mentality compared to what the Melbourne Storm usually say when they go next man up?
Well, let me read you the packs for each side. So
this is going to be the deciding factor.
This is the matchup. Okay. So Melbourne Storm, Stefano Toikamanu, they've got Sean Plour, Ativalu Lisati at back row. And then off the bench, they've got Joe Chan, David Mwali, Cooper Clark.
Okay.
I've just named off a few of their Pacific Islander forwards in that Melbourne Storm team. Listen to the Tigers team. So the starting props, Terrell May, Fanua Pole. You've got Sione Fainu at back row. Off the bench, Bunty Afoa, back fence Bunty.
Oh, the Warriors.
From the Warriors. Royce Hunt as well, coming off the bench. And Latu Fainu, he'll come off and bring a bit of spark in that hooker position, I think.
Wow, that's an even matchup. But who's got more grunt in them?
At the moment,
Tigers.
You have to say the Tigers.
Tigers, yeah.
But then you go to the Storm team, you've got Fa'alongo.
I know. When you set those names and you look at their team, you go, how are you second last?
Cameron Munster, Jerome Hughes, and Harry Grant. How does that happen that they're sitting second last with seven losses?
I've got no idea. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Poor Craig Bellamy's there scratching his head. But I think they get the job done. This game will be played in Melbourne.
Melbourne will get it done this week. They'll break the losing streak?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
all right.
Yeah. I don't know. Who do you think?
I don't know either. I'm going off. There's too much past history for me to keep going against Melbourne. But just the Tigers, I think they've got a good narrative that they'll build around this game leading into it, going in as underdogs.
I would actually love to see the Tigers win. And Sean Johnson on his podcast brought up a really good point. For the last 2 decades, the Storm have been so dominant. So every player who had to play through that era.
Yeah, they all going for the opposite team.
They're all just loving that the Melbourne Storm are finally losing games.
Everyone hates winners, eh?
Well, it's like, they had to play against them.
I know, man. I'm hearing you.
I remember them games when we had to play Melbourne. It wasn't a fun time at all. It's like you have to prepare for one of the toughest games and you know you're most likely going to lose that game.
And especially down in Melbourne, like that is a slippery surface. Like it just feels like a slow game, and just the way that they get you into that wrestle, they're physical. But
actually, on this point, now my debut year was 2011. We had our last game of the round, Roosters versus Melbourne. I didn't have a contract for the next year. I think one of the big three were missing.
In Melbourne?
No, it was in Sydney, this one. We weren't making the eight. They were preparing for finals footy. One of the big three were out. It might have been Billy Slater. And we ended up winning the game. I had a pretty decent game.
Because of
you. I did make this break and then put one of the boys in for a going in untouched. After that game, my coach at the time, Brian Smith, he came up when we were doing our post-match presentation, or you know, just enjoying that time up in the bar because it was the last game of the year.
Yeah,
and he's come up, shook my hand, he goes,
"See you next year.
We'll sort out a deal for you next year." And I'm just
that is unbelievable, because if you can carve up against the best team in the comp, your coaches do notice.
Yep.
So hey,
that was a big moment.
Oh, I love that. It was because it was
against Melbourne Storm.
Absolutely.
So
I've heard other stories like that. I think that I love that, T. I've heard a lot of your stories, but I haven't heard that one. So thanks for bringing in something new.
Let's go get some more stories from Nemani Kondolo.
Kondolo?
Mondolo. Nemani Nondolo Kudunjali.
Yes.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, Volavina to my friend Nemani Nondolo Kurindrani. And I said at the top of the show, bro, that you had another photo opportunity with a different polo shirt. And then I see you today in another different polo shirt that's not the Drua. So talk us through the hands that you've been shaking and all the other things you've been doing in Fiji when you're not coaching.
First of all, good morning, boys. First of all, how are we, lads?
Yeah, we're good. Sorry, bro. I just had to go in there. I just saw the polo shirt and I was like, he is good, man. Look at the ring on the finger too. That's new.
Mate, it's becoming a joke now, isn't it? Mate, so yeah, it's been a productive week. Obviously, you have the bye. There's no rugby for us, so I had to put the rugby hat down and put on my real job. So I do have a day-to-day job, guys. People think that I'm here on holidays and sipping pina coladas, but,
that's the narrative you paint on your social media stuff. The amount of kava you've drunk since you've moved back.
Mate.
Holy.
So I had to do my part in the village, serve the village. On Wednesday night, I was in Suva in the capital, had a meeting with the Minister of Employment, Minister Singh. So just talked all things, you know, chew the fat on a lot of things.
Chat all things rugby, eh?
Yeah. So, no, I've actually elevated my thoughts on this. Not just rugby now. I'll talk about other stuff, surprisingly. But it's been a good week. We're here back in the capital. And I'm in the Drua HQ, first time this week.
Awesome. Well, let's stay on the theme of rugby then. This is not a show about other jobs that you do, but I do love bringing it up. But anyway, the Drua do have the bye this week, man. Three wins from four games. It's been a bit of a purple patch for the boys since the announcement of the coaches will be moving on. But Big Temor, the Skip's come out and said that during the bye week he's encouraged them to get back to their families. You know, what's the talk around what the boys are doing in their week off and why did he feel the need to probably say, yeah, get back to the families?
Yeah, look, and I think that was deservedly said. As you know, in our cultures, we're predominantly a Fijian, Itauke, indigenous Fijian team. Family is everything to us. We're a village, it takes a village to raise a person. We're a communal sort of people and it might not be the same, I guess, in probably the Western cultures, but for us, it's home. And, you know, we've grinded together for 9 weeks. In the last bye, we trained during that bye. So, what Temo said, it's been great. No one's heard from anyone. Everyone's sort of, you know, obviously they got given their programs to get away, but, it's some of these guys, you know, their families live on an island. You know, some of them haven't seen their family since Christmas last year. So to be able to go back and rejuvenate, be around their family, get on the island. So, like I said, some of them, it's a 14-hour boat ride to get home. So, you know, with three games left, three important games, and three games, we've beaten them besides the Reds. We've had good success with. You know, we've got the Tars at home, which we've had good success there. Obviously, the Force, where we played them earlier, and then the Reds in Brisbane. So, you know, three very important games, and I just think it was the right decision, smart decision from the coaches and the senior players to get everyone just to connect back with their families, man, because, you know, it's going to be a very, very important 3 weeks.
How good is that, eh? What did you do on your bye week, T? Because I've been to Fiji on my bye week, but if you're living on an island, a holiday destination, like, it just, well, would you want to go anywhere else?
Depends where I am. Am I in the UK or Australia?
Where do you want to be?
Australia.
Australia, okay, for your bye week. What are you doing?
Golf.
Golf. Nems, what did you do in your bye week?
Trained
hard, eh? Trained hard, eh? You did extras.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, not all of us had the luxuries of going away for a few days. We were what you call the extras club, where you'd have to come in at 6 a.m. And so I got sick of it, and I went and bought a Watt bike. So I was like, right, now I can just do it from home.
the bye week, you're on the Watt bike, even though you scored 100 tries.
Where was Rupa?
Mate, don't get me started.
Where was Rupa?
The Player Association, mate. Anyway, don't worry about that one. We don't have those clauses in rugby union like you guys have in rugby league. But some other big news, Nems. We've seen the Fijian squad being announced. A very, very strong-looking squad there, obviously with the upcoming Nations Cup just around the corner.
Yeah, it's a very – I think for the first time, even I've been in and around the squad, I think it's probably the most well-balanced squad we've had in a long time, with experience, with, you know, youth. They've got guys like Bevele Yato back in who is out. Bit of controversy in the last World Cup, obviously with the new interim coach, so it'd be interesting to see how they go. You'd like to think, obviously, he's been picked, so they've obviously buried the hatchet there, so it's good to see the big man back. You know, you've got Nathan Hughes, a few debutants, Nathan Hughes and Virimi Vakatawa, who we all know have had a lot of experience playing for England and then in France. So, it's a really good squad. In saying that, it's going to get cut down to 30, so there's still, guys there that might not make the tour. So, yeah, it's a really good squad. I'm really excited to see, you know, the likes of Vodevode, the guys from the Drua, get an opportunity, and hopefully they can get some exposure over in Europe and play against those sides. But dare I say, it's going to be probably heavily influenced by the European-based players.
Oh, hopefully we see Vodevode. He played well against the British and Irish Lions last year, so he got a bit of a taste there. Freak of a player. And then on the women's front, Mike Ledge being announced as the Fijian Drua women's coach.
Yeah, it's been great appointment. Obviously, he's done really well with them in the Pacific Cup. Mike Ledge brings a lot of experience. I ran into him just on my way into here to come see you guys, and he's they're actually with the week off. They're training at the moment, so they've got their first trial game next week. They've started this week of training. Again, you know, someone like Mike and his experience, and then obviously his assistants who they had at Fijiana. So, you know, these girls, particularly with the season so short, you don't need disruptions and new coaches and whatnot. I think it's a great appointment, and you know, they're really pumped for next year. And I was just speaking to some of the management in the Fijiana Drua, and they just want to go well this year. They want to go one better, they want to try and reach their potential.
Yeah, they've had some success, eh? The Fijian women in the Super W space. So hopefully they can have some more this year, because that's just around the corner as well. T, you all right over there, my friend?
Yeah, mate, all good.
Okay, I just thought you'd just chime in there and help us out here with Nems. He wants to talk to you as well, not just me.
He wants to go to golf.
It's T's bye week. he's got his clubs in the car. But no, it's been a big chat, Nems. You are the man. We look forward to catching you next week. We'll see the Drua polo shirt on, no doubt, from when? Monday? Sunday?
Well, I'm off to Kiribati next week, so I might have to give you a call to get some advice if you've been there.
I haven't been to Kiribati. Holy.
Okay, so that could be our chat for next week. I'm off on Tuesday to have a chat with
Do you know how to say hello? Do you know how to say hello in Kiribati?
I don't want to offend anyone, mate, so I'm not going to bother.
So when you get there, come to Māori. Māori. Come to Māori, yeah, 100%.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it, my friend. We have Kiribati listeners, so make sure, yeah, we'll help you out there. There we go.
I'll take some photos, take some videos. I'm really excited, so I'm off there next week.
So will we be tuning in with you from Kiribati next week?
Actually, you are, because I fly out at like 11 o'clock, so we'll have to, no, yes, we'll be from Kiribati.
Oh, that's a first. We'll make sure the internet's on, make sure we get the time differences. Well,
funny you say that, because their internet is way better than Fiji. Apparently they've got Starlink everywhere. So, boys, we're on, boys.
We're on. Oh, mates, make sure we have it outside the media so we can see beautiful Kiribati. Looking forward to that chat, Nems. Love it, bro. We'll chat soon. More there.
Enjoy, boys. Later.
To easy, Nems.
How good's that?
Smoke! You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke!
No, you lock it up.
Yes, Smokey!
Lock it up.
Here we go. Our lock and smoke, our tipping comp that we like to finish the show with. And I caught up last week, didn't I, T?
Yes, you got a couple points. I did get one, I think.
Did you get
but
one?
The score is 9-6 to me. You took both points last week. And the loser at the end of the year has to buy the other one a feed, a big feed.
Big feed. I'll give you a big pig, big buck on the
big
spit.
Pig.
Yeah, I've got you, bro.
Are you sure?
Eh?
I don't like pig.
You don't like pig. I was about to say that. Oh, you know what? You want some loo?
Some loo.
Yeah,
some loo. Oh, yeah, I'll take the loo.
Yeah, give you some loo.
And
sippy,
a fish, a whole fish.
Whole fish.
Snapper.
Snapper.
A whole snapper, rice, coconut cream.
Oh, man, I'm going to start fishing now so I can practice how to reel one in for you, nice and fresh. But anyway, let's go to our tips. Who are we liking here?
I'll start then. I'll lock in the Newcastle Knights.
Oh, you did say that they're gonna. That's a sure thing. Lock.
That's my lock in.
That's lock
to beat the Dragons. Dragons have had the bye last week, so they are on the board with 2 points, but and they're also rested. But I just think the Knights, the way that they're playing, and they've got Kalen Ponga back, Dylan Brown back, and Fletcher Sharp's there.
Yeah,
I just think they're gonna be too good for the Dragons.
Okay. Do the Reds turn things around against the Chiefs? Chiefs are flying. Do the Reds have a crack?
Who'd you lock in?
Yeah, I'm just having a look at the Union one because you've done the lock in there. Do you know what my lock is, actually? I'm going to go the Landers.
Islanders to beat the Tars?
Yes, I'm going to go the Landers at home. And that's probably a more of an even game because they're both down the bottom, but I just think...
Well, that's why I was going to go Tars as my... No, I'm not going against. No, I'm not going against the Highlanders.
Okay, but the Highlanders are my lock.
Not with the place of, especially when they're playing in Dunedin, my hometown where I was born. So I'm not going the Waratahs to beat the Highlanders. But what I will go. So you've gone the Highlanders as your lock.
Yep.
As my smoky, here's one for you.
Yeah.
Is Manly a smoky against the Broncos?
Ooh. Are the Sharks a smoky against the Bunnies?
Are the Sharks a smoky against the Bunnies? No, they're strong.
But who did you say
I'll
was...
I'll give you the Sharks if you give me Manly.
You good with that?
Yeah. Oh, nah, actually, you're not.
Oh, what?
Well, why don't we go the other way then? You go Bunnies and I'll go Broncos.
For what?
For our Smokies to beat...
Oh, okay. Oh, let's shake on it again.
There you go. We'll just go the other team.
We'll go the other team. Oh, let's take that then. Sweet as.
What a shambles.
Sweet as. Yeah. Someone have some authority over here to have some clear boundaries because we keep stepping out of it. But anyway, all
That's
good.
All right. Let me wrap us up. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows. Just subscribe to the podcast. Search Nijan Footy, wherever you get your podcasts. And a final one from me. Happy Mother's Day to all our mums.
Oh, you've just reminded me.
Across the Pacific. And happy Mother's Day to my mum. Love you very much.
Absolutely. Much love. Ofalahiatu.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.